It's Rockin' Vino. All right.
How's it going? This is Rockin' Vino on KSRO, sponsored by American Ag Credit. I am Coco with my lovely co-host, Michelle.
Hey.
How's it going?
Really good. I'm so excited about our guest today.
Yes, they're going to be way fun. They have some really cool things happening. So we have Noah and Kelly Dorrance.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello, hello. And they are with Reeve Wines and Bloodroot Wines, and also the very cool The Ramble concert or festival that's coming up. So tell us a little bit about how you guys started everything, you know, getting in the wine business, moving here, and how that kind of happened.
Yeah, so we're originally from Missouri, and I've been a lifelong fan of wine. I strangely got into it when I was 18 years old. I always say, you know, partly because of James Bond. I was, back when you used to rent movies at Blockbuster, I decided to watch all the James Bond movies, and there was always some really cool scene where he's like, I'll have the 61 Lafitte or something like
yeah.
that. And growing up in...
There's nobody cooler than James Bond, right?
Exactly. Beautiful cars, beautiful women. He's right. wearing a tuxedo. And I'm like, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to figure that out.
Yeah. You're like, I want that.
Exactly. And so I went and bought Wine for Dummies when he used to buy books at Barnes & Noble.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got started. And I think, you know, a big part of it, I think being from the Midwest... And it's one of the things I still love about wine is that each bottle of wine is like this snapshot of this place in time that might be from some far off place. It could mm-hmm. be from Burgundy or from the Swiss Alps or whatever. And all of a sudden you feel this connection. It's almost like traveling a little bit and having a piece of that place come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still one of my favorite things about wine. And so once I kind of got that in my head, eventually... I kind of knew that I would end up in California.
Cool. And how about you?
By way of Noah.
Cool.
And okay. being the hot Bond girl.
Yes. Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. I love that.
No, I appreciate wine. I very much enjoy wine. And in our relationship, Noah is very much the craftsman and the winemaker and keeps all of those details like... tight, and the quality of the product is highest notch. And I do a lot of the experience design in our tasting rooms, and you know, wine is also hospitality, so I'm kind of heavily into that side of the business.
Okay.
While also just enjoying consumption.
Absolutely.
So tell us when you made your move out to California.
Yeah, we moved out here about 20 years ago, mm-hmm. and I started working at a winery that was in San Francisco called Crush Pad.
Mm.
Crush Pad was pretty cool because the model was allowing people to make their own wine. I say kind of quote-unquote make their own wine only because there was a full winemaking staff, whole vineyard catalog that you could choose from.
Mm.
And for me, that was great because I worked there and I was able to make my own wine on the side with the help of the winemaking team.
So you must have really had a lot of access to knowledge and mentors who could show you sort of how it all works.
Absolutely. It was probably the easiest way ever to get into that side of the wine business.
Yeah.
I worked, when I was in Missouri, I worked for a distributor. I worked at a wine bar for a while. So I had been working in wine, but just not on the production side or not in a winery.
Do you remember the first bottle of wine you ever made? Or the first wine you made?
Yes, I do.
And what was
the
that?
The first one was Syrah, and it was from Santa Barbara County.
Nice. So. Very cool. Do you have any bottles still left of that to, like, drink?
I don't think so. I have not seen one in a long time.
Is that the wine we called Inkling?
Inkling, yeah.
Yeah, no.
No.
It's gone.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how did you guys meet?
Oh, my ex-boyfriend introduced us.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
And coincidentally, we're still good friends, and him and his wife are coming out for the Ramble in about
fun.
A month. And they were here last year for the Ramble as well. So.
Yeah. And this is the second year of the Ramble.
Correct.
Awesome. I mean, so tell us a little bit about the Ramble and like what people can experience and expect when they go to this awesome festival you guys have created.
Yeah, so music has always been a huge part of my life and Kelly's. She was just telling me on the way here that sometime in high school she wanted to be a DJ.
Nice.
I did. I interviewed at our tiny little local station in rural Missouri.
Nice.
Yeah. Then I chickened out.
But, you know, we've both been going to lots of concerts throughout our life. I followed around this band called Widespread Panic for a number of summers in my college years. And even, you know, Kelly and I's relationship, there was a lot of bonding over music. And right when we got married, like one of the first parties we had, we just ended up building a stage in our backyard and having a couple local bands and put flyers on all the neighbors' houses. Hey, we're going to make a lot of noise here. So
nice.
Sorry. So it's kind of, I'd say, in our DNA to want to produce music, to create events and environments where everyone comes together and is having a good time. And now with the Ramble, we've just kind of made it a little bit more professional and a little bit of a bigger deal.
Yeah. And so, I mean, with the Ramble, you're closing down multiple streets or one street in downtown Healdsburg?
Actually, this year we are moving it. It was in actual downtown Healdsburg. We are a couple miles north of downtown Healdsburg this year at the community center.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing in the soccer fields. It's probably six times bigger than the field we were in last year. No street closures. It will just be in the fields there. But yeah, it is a bigger undertaking because our lineup is worth it.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty amazing lineup. When I started seeing the ads on Insta, I was like, wait a minute, they're coming here to Healdsburg?
Yeah.
So tell us about the lineup for the show this year, The Ramble, their homegrown music and wine festival, June 7th and 8th. Who have you got coming?
So, you know, just kind of starting at the top, the headliner is super exciting, Lord Huron. They're one of our favorite bands. We actually booked them to play Healdsburg in 2016, and they drove their own van up from LA with all their own equipment, and we got to meet them and hang out. Obviously, they've become much, much bigger since then.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're selling out multiple nights at Red Rocks, and they're, you know, the headliner at much bigger festivals. So this will be the smallest show they play and the only Northern California show they play.
Oh, wow.
But it'll be the smallest by, like, a third, probably.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really intimate, really cool.
Yeah.
And then we have Andrew Bird, who's been a longtime favorite. He's also very interested in the cause that we're working towards, and we can talk more about that later.
Yeah.
Cautious Clay, who we love, definitely a little bit of change up in terms of style. There's a lot of jazz, pop, R&B elements there.
Nice.
And then this crazy band that we saw at the Fillmore earlier this year called The Nude Party. I'd been listening to them. They'd been coming up in Spotify playlists, and we went to go see them at the Fillmore, and they're wild.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Chevy Van is one of my favorite tunes. It's so hilarious.
So good. I actually have a lot of people ask, are you guys actually having a nude party? I'm like, no. That's a band.
Clothing required. Clothing required, folks.
And then we have Spike Sykes, who is a Healdsburg local legend.
Oh, yeah. Love
and
him. He's
love.
So great.
Noah keeps saying he's got more talent in his pinky than most incredible artists. And then the Kofis brothers are coming up from Santa Cruz to play our small opening show on Friday.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it's a big undertaking.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But, I mean, it sounds so exciting and just a really cool thing that you guys are bringing, you know, to the community.
Yeah.
And you're doing this in conjunction with your winery, Bloodroot Wines, right?
Yep.
And so tell us about how Bloodroot came about and where it's located and how people can go check it out.
Yeah. So we've kind of tied music into both of our wineries, Reeve and Bloodroot, but Bloodroot is in downtown Healdsburg. It's kind of catty corner from Single Thread, or same building as Healdsburg Running Company. And that's where the best place is to come taste the wine. We also have DJs there on Saturday afternoons and sometimes other times.
Yeah.
Lots of times spinning vinyl. And Bloodroot is something that we created in 2018. And a big part of Bloodroot is to create a lot of value in the wines. So we have really high quality standards, and our kind of aesthetics for wine are elegant and pretty and high standards, but we wanted to do all that in a wine that was more value oriented, that was a little bit, had a little bit more wine behind it. Mm-hmm. Whereas on the Reeve side or other winery, it's all very, very small 100 case bottlings. It's almost all sold direct to our mailing list, and much, much smaller production. So that's how those two kind of work together.
Yeah, I saw that online, the wine prices for Bloodroot, very approachable. Like the most expensive bottle is $48, which is very, you know, value oriented.
Yeah, and a lot of them are actually in the 20s.
Yeah.
And so it takes a lot of effort. I often say I make Pinot that's $100 a bottle, but our most entry-level Pinot at Bloodroot, you can find for like a little over $20. I'm almost more proud of that because it's so much harder to do.
Yeah. What is that challenge to make it? Is it sourcing grapes in the right way, or what kinds of things do you have to do?
I think it's especially challenging with Pinot Noir. It doesn't yield very much on the vine. Mm-hmm. It tends to be expensive. One of the things I love about Pinot is it's very transparent, so it shows its place. It shows what's happened during its winemaking process, and that's a really beautiful thing, but it's a really challenging thing too. With other varieties, there's a lot more leeway in terms of what could be maybe blended in with those varieties or how they're raised. They're just more tolerant, where Pinot shows everything. And Pinot is really expensive, so all the and the aforementioned, if you want to really make it taste like really good Pinot,
right,
that also holds you to a different standard, which makes it that much harder. So all those things kind of come together to make it challenging.
Wow. We are talking with Noah and Kelly Dorrance of Reeve Wines, Bloodroot Wines, and The Ramble, a homegrown music and wine festival in Healdsburg. It's coming up very soon, June 7th and 8th. You can get your tickets at bloodrootramble.com. We'll take a quick break and be right back. This is Rockin' Vino, sponsored by American Ag Credit.
At American Ag Credit, we know success in agriculture means making the most of every minute. Our convenient and secure digital banking tools put time back into your hands so you can be where you're needed most. From mobile check capture to automatic payments, electronic signature, and more, we offer safe and efficient solutions to keep your business running smoothly so you have more time for the moments that matter. For more information, visit agloan.com/online. American Ag Credit. Your future grows here.
It's Rockin' Vino. All right.
All right, welcome back to Rockin' Vino, brought to you by American Ag Credit. We are talking with Noah and Kelly Dorrance of Reeve Wines, Bloodroot Wines, and The Ramble. And we have this gorgeous bottle of Bloodroot Wines called The Ramble, which we are going to do a little taste of. So let's pop this cork here. Get the little sound effect.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, nice work.
Nailed it.
Did you guys hear that okay?
She's a pro. So tell us about this wine.
So the Ramble is a wine that we made ahead of last year's Ramble. And it's a little bit of like a kitchen sink blend. So we make, last year in 2023, we made 19 different varieties. And so this is actually kind of a fun wine because we have all these pieces of things. And without a very specific target in mind, we can just play around.
Yeah.
So it's a fun, joyous red wine. It's got Syrah, Grenache, Mourvedre, Merlot, Cab Franc, a little bit of Sangiovese.
Okay.
There's even a little bit of Chardonnay in here. Very small amount.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah.
That's fun. Why would you add a Chardonnay into a red wine?
Sometimes a little bit of white wine, and it doesn't have to be Chardonnay, can elevate the brightness of a red
wine. I've had a red wine with a little bit of Viognier, and it just adds sort of that floral kind of fun note to it. It's really kind of fun.
Absolutely. It's oftentimes in a blend like this, it's like the secret last ingredient. Like you're almost there, and then 1% of something like that makes the whole thing pop.
It smells divine.
It does smell quite lovely. It's a 2022.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Cheers.
Wow, nice.
Cheers around the
harmonics
world.
Harmonics going on here.
Love it.
So we were talking about Bloodroot and the name and your awesome logo. So how did all of that come about and who created that?
Yeah, so the name Bloodroot, I just had it stuck in my head for a while because the first time I heard it, I got this idea that wine is like the blood of the plant.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's got two really strong words in it, blood and root. And so for a name of something, I thought that's really, it really grabbed me as a word. I didn't even really know what it meant.
Yeah.
But it actually is a plant that has these red roots.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
A blood root, yeah.
That's neat.
I saw it on Wikipedia.
Did you?
It's a source of all water.
And it flowers too, right?
Yeah.
It's a flower,
yeah, it does,
right?
It does flower.
Yeah.
And then, so I had this idea that the vines are taking this kind of dead material in the ground and the minerals, and they're recycling them back into life, into blood. And so when we went looking for a logo, our label designer, Robert, actually was looking in this book of Gnostic symbols, and there was this symbol that's on our label, which is this skull with a flower growing out of it. Mm. And it roughly had a translation that meant from death comes life.
That's kind of what you were thinking of, right?
It's kind of what I was thinking of. And then the other more personal reason is we had actually just sold this other winery that we had started with some friends called Banshee Wines, mm-hmm, in 2017. And that was our baby, and it was the first winery that we had ever started. And so then after that, this came, and it was kind of the new life.
Very cool.
Has actually, you know, obviously it's a theme that has resonated with people for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But for us, it took on special meaning, and we continue to find new meanings in it too.
Yeah, very cool. And I see on the bottle it says 1% for the planet. Tell us about that.
So we joined 1% for the planet a few years ago, and we actually make another wine called Remy Saves the Sea that I do with my daughter. And that's how we first got involved with 1% for the planet.
Very cool.
But basically, organizations that are committed to 1% for the planet donate 1% of their revenues to earth-friendly charities and funds, and there's almost everyone you can imagine you could choose from. So we've been working with this nonprofit in Santa Monica called Five Gyres, mm-hmm, and they do ocean research, advocacy, and yeah, it's been really cool. And I think, especially being in farming, we're always thinking about ways to mitigate our impact on the environment and what we do, and finding ways to do it better, mm-hmm, and, you know, just giving money back is one of those ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kelly, can you tell us a bit about your tasting rooms and spaces? Because they're really lovely.
They give you
such a great experience when you walk in.
Thank you. I think for me, it's really about the natural environment we have access to. It's so beautiful no matter what. Specifically, our tasting room at Reeve in Dry Creek Valley, surrounded by old growth oak trees and obviously vineyards, and there's just not much you have to do. It's just beautiful. And so Reeve is very much outside in, and we kind of just wanted to bring the outside in, mm-hmm, and just make it feel like a cohesive experience. So most of the time, unless it's a downpour, you're tasting your wines outside, and there's Spanish moss and birds, and sometimes caterpillars will drop into your wine glass, and that's okay.
That's awesome.
So yeah, that was my inspiration there. And then down at Bloodroot, it's similar to what we did at the Banshee tasting room. I just wanted it to feel like you've gone over to your best friend's house, mm-hmm, and it's super comfortable. It's inspiring. It's a little fresh and different. I definitely don't think about wine tasting when I'm designing a space. I'm thinking more about where do you want to just like sit and stay and create a relationship with your host or your wine. I actually also have a small plug here for my tiny little antique stand that is in the old taxi
stand
next to Bloodroot. Yeah.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's literally like a little shack, and I just kind of collect some beautiful things that I think I would love to connect somebody with.
Uh-huh.
Deserves a good home. And it's kind of an honor system. You see something you like, you take it in the tasting room and buy it. So it's fun because it keeps like, I'll sometimes pull stuff into the tasting room and then we can sell it at the stand. And so it keeps like my eyes always open for new new things.
Very cool.
Yeah, but I think for us, it's mostly about the connection and creating relationships with people in our community. And I think that's also a big part of the Ramble and why we do the Ramble, too.
Yeah, so, yeah. And you must have fun then in Healdsburg because there's some great antique shopping.
There's some great antiques. It's right? A little weird when I take something from two blocks away, mark it up.
Your new home down the road.
But I also love going to the Alameda Flea Market and estate sales and all sorts of stuff. So
nice. Ooh,
fun, fun.
Oh, yeah.
You should see our garage.
Oh, yeah.
It's
you should see our garage.
Stuff.
Really cool.
Treasure.
Full of treasure.
Exactly. And so with the tasting rooms, is Reeve, are either of them by appointment only or are they both walk-in?
Reeve is by appointment only. Especially, you can always try walk-in, but I especially recommend it on weekends. It's not only just space, but... and permitting, but also just the experience we want you to have. Mm-hmm. Bloodroot has a little bit later hours, and like I said, we have DJ on Saturdays, so it can be more of like walk-in at will. But yeah, you can also make an appointment. But yeah, Reeve is definitely more heavily appointment oriented.
So we've got the Ramble, this festival that's coming up June 7th and 8th. The 7th is your sort of VIP experience, right? Mm-hmm. So tell us about the tickets and how that works.
Yeah, so I would say the meat of the festival is on Saturday, the 8th. All of the bands that you see on there, except for the Kofus Brothers, are all playing on the 8th.
Wow.
The 7th, Friday, there's kind of a kickoff party at Bloodroot where the Kofus Brothers are playing.
Okay.
It'll be much smaller. There'll be a couple hundred people. And then before that, there's kind of a VIP and artist get together at Reeve.
Nice.
And I can't say who yet, but at least one, if not two or three of the artists will show up there and play a song or two acoustic. We did this last year and
very
it was really amazing. It was really intimate and it ended up being one of people's favorite parts of the weekend.
Yeah.
So the VIP ticket, unlike other festivals you might go to with a VIP ticket where you have a special area at the festival. We have that too.
Right.
But our VIP ticket also includes access to both the events on Friday night and the after party on Saturday night. So it's more of like a package.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And all of the ticket prices and everything is available at bloodrootramble.com?
Yep. Bloodrootramble.com.
Okay. Excellent.
I will also say the VIP tickets are almost sold out.
So right. I would figure. We're less than a month away. So if you have thought about this, now you need to get them.
Yeah.
Right. And there is, tell us what kind of beneficiary you have for your event.
So I lost my niece in the Nashville school shooting, March 27th, 2023. She's 9 years old. A cause we already believed in, but we're incredibly dedicated to now is just making our schools safer, our churches, our synagogues, our stores, our malls. So we are partnering with Giffords. Gabby Giffords is a senator from Arizona who was shot while campaigning, and they have been the most inspiring partners, and I know they're doing things, and so we've been working with them on this, and all proceeds will go to them, and our sponsorship dollars go to them.
Wow. That's amazing.
We have a goal of $100,000 raised for them, and just through our sponsorship dollars, we're close. So,
yet another reason to get tickets, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Goes to a great cause. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Yeah, that hurts. I'm so sorry. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sorry too.
Well, we know that Rock and Vino doesn't end. If you've listened to the show before, we have a bonus conversation that we will do with Noah and Kelly and talk more about Reeves, about Bloodroot, and the Ramble. All you have to do is listen at rockandvino.com and get the scoop. But we're going to take a quick break and then on to the podcast it is. All right,
that's right. Yeah, I'm ready.
This is KSRO.
It's Rock and Vino. All right.
And welcome back to Rock and Vino. This is the podcast portion of the show. Our guests are Noah and Kelly Dorrance of Reeve Wines Bloodroot Wines and The Ramble, which is coming up in Healdsburg, June 7th and 8th. So you're going to be at a new area. So tell us about the new area. How many people are expected? How many? What's your capacity? Because, I mean, Lord Huron, I mean, you're going to get people there, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those moments where I was like, we're going to need a bigger boat. We didn't expect to have Lord Huron, but having this relationship with them mm-hmm. from the past and given our cause, they proactively said, we want to play. And we had some ideas about moving to the community center in the future just because we were a little hemmed in with the original spot in downtown Healdsburg. Mm-hmm. So we had our eye on this space, and we also live right across the street from it, basically. So we look at it all the time and had it kind of scoped out. But once we knew we had Lord Huron as the headliner, we're like, I guess we're going to move this year and make it a lot bigger. So we'll have about 2,500 people. It's kind of our max capacity.
Okay. That's still really small, like, honestly.
Very intimate. Very intimate. Yeah.
Very intimate.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's going to be very intimate.
Very
and
cool.
People can bring blankets and low chairs. And so it'll be a great hangout, and it'll feel, I think it'll feel really good.
Yeah.
And will you guys have, I saw you guys are going to have food vendors. So, like, will there be, like, food trucks kind of lined around the perimeter? Like, how do you guys have that set up?
Exactly. We have 5 food trucks, and then we're going to have, various types of food, Greek, Mexican, burgers. And then we have Moonlight Brewing as our beer sponsor. Uh-huh. So we will have beer there. We will be primarily pouring Bloodroot for wine. I don't know why. And then we'll obviously have a plethora of NA drinks as well. There'll be plenty there to help, you know, sustain everyone.
Very cool.
Is outside food allowed, or do you want people to be buying from the vendors there?
No outside food allowed.
Okay. Yep.
We are allowing in and outs if people do want to, you know, run home and take a break or...
Why would they
want
to
do that?
Why would they
want to
do that?
I know.
I
why
can't
would
imagine.
They?
But it is
well,
an option.
Maybe if one of your neighbors who lives around there just wants
exactly.
to go, you know,
exactly.
go
freshen
home
up
use their own bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We just have porta potties, I'm assuming.
Yep. Porta potties.
The glamorous porta potties.
We will have porta potties. Yeah. And in our VIP, our small VIP area, there will be the nice ones. They'll all be nice. They'll all be clean.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be a mini. I think somebody called it the 375 bottle rock.
Oh, that's cute. That's adorable.
It's the half
but
bottle.
I think it's much, much smaller than that.
Yeah.
It's the smallest.
It's the table
wine size you
tablespoon.
Can have.
But it's still, I mean, so cool. And I love the fact that you guys do the acoustics, for the VIP group the day before. I mean, I feel like when songs are broken down acoustically, even if they're on the softer side, if you will, I just feel like it brings a whole new meaning and vibe to the song.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really, really fun and special,
yeah.
which is really cool.
Coco and I had a chance to go to Songwriters in Paradise Napa, and then there's one coming up in July in uh-huh. Healdsburg. And that experience of being in a small group of people listening to one or two songs from each of the artists or, you know, a couple mm-hmm. songs, that was just absolutely incredible. And so is that's sort of the same vibe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you're going to get at Reeve.
And something we learned too last year, I think we called our friend Ron Charlesworth, who has Speed of Sound, like, Ron, we need another PA system at the Tasting Room, because people would just, you know, even musicians who weren't performing would bring in their guitar and play a couple songs. So it was like creating this environment where if somebody wanted to get up, if it's one of the artists performing,
right.
Or if it's just somebody who's attending, mm-hmm. sure, like, Show us what you got.
Very cool.
It was really nice.
Yeah, that brought up one thing that we didn't mention before is there's an after party at Bloodroot as well. And Miguel, who plays bass for Lord Huron, is going to DJ the after party.
Neat.
So that'll be something fun afterwards. He's actually DJed at the Bloodroot Tasting Room before.
Oh, right on.
But he's going to do it again on the 8th.
And do you guys, I mean, obviously you're going to have your hands full and you're going to be working. But do you get to take a moment to enjoy the festival or any aspect of it? And if so, what's your favorite part that you get to participate in that that you don't feel like you're working?
I think TBD. I think, yes, based on last year, yes, we have an amazing team of people. behind us. This year, my entire family will be here. So that's going to be a little different. My sister and our kids, like, we want to make it open to them. We have all these friends coming back from Missouri. So there's a lot of visitors on top of the actual execution of the event. But I've told Noah and my team, like, it is very important to me that I soak this in.
Yeah.
And so that will be a priority, just doing all the pre-work to make sure that we're in a good spot. So
Amazing.
When it actually happens, we're in good shape and we can actually enjoy it.
Right. So what is your team like to put on something like this? Because a concert is a lot of work, right?
We have a very, very small team. Our whole company, Kelly and I included, is like 14 people.
Wow.
Whoa.
And
we also make wine and run tasting rooms.
Yeah, we also make wine and run two tasting rooms and do other things. So I actually don't know how we do it. I'm scratching my head here, but we have a very small team. We have a few outside people that are helping, and they've been lifesavers. Kelly mentioned Ron from Speed of Sound, Bianca, who's our event planner, who's amazing. So I think it's, you know, I think that spirit is what makes it a very different music festival. Like, we don't have a bunch of corporate sponsors. It's going to feel like
Home
kind home. Of like you said with our tasting rooms, feeling like you're in your coolest friend's living room. This is going to feel like you're in your friend's backyard, which is a lot bigger than most people's backyard.
That's really cool. I love that. So with the Ramble, so doors are at 11:30, and then the Lord Huron goes on at 6:15. So what time is it slated to end?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
that's
day.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a nice daytime.
Yeah.
You know, I think for a lot of people maybe in the city who just want to do a day trip.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I was literally talking to a friend today, and he went to a show that was in San Jose, so it's a bit of a drive, but the show ended at 11:30, and we were like, that is just way too late.
Too
you
long.
Know, like, I think concerts need to end a little earlier now, like, start early, do a little matinee, you know, people want to be in bed.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's, like, amazing time.
Yeah. Is this also family friendly? Should we bring our kids?
Yeah, you can. Up to the parent. I'm like, do you want to watch your kid
right.
or not?
Yeah.
But
what
yes,
about,
we
like,
do
dogs?
Have a we do have a youth ticket available for
for
kids and children. I think it's 2 and under are free. And no pets, just because we haven't done this.
Yes.
We have to kind of like slow roll those experiences and see how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
We actually went to the Mill Valley Music Festival yesterday, and one of the things I noticed was how family friendly it was, and it was really fun seeing the kids there hanging out, enjoying the music, kind of soaking it all in.
Yeah.
And especially being a day, it was also a daytime festival. It was over by like 7 o'clock last night.
Nice.
I think that helps a lot with the family friendliness.
Yeah.
It was. We got a lot of inspiration from there yesterday. It was really well designed.
Yeah.
Now hopefully it's going to be nice, fun, sunny weather. So what about shade and those kinds of things?
Yeah, we have a number of different shade structures. The VIP zone has a beautiful tent that was provided by Shelter Co. They have these beautiful canvas tents with wood legs, posts. And then we'll have some other shaded tent structures throughout the main area. And then, you know, be a good time to bring your sun hat as well,
exactly.
just in case.
Yeah,
nice
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how long does it take you guys to plan this festival?
I would say in some respects, the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally started thinking about it, I was going to say the day after last year, but I think even that same day last year that we had the main festival, we started talking about next year.
Wow.
And then, you know, I would say there's kind of the idea phase, and reaching out to bands starts maybe 7-8 months before the event.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer. And then kind of the hardcore, all the logistics, the bathrooms and the fences and the stage and the sound really gets started probably within 4 months, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So much, but so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And what about getting on your list so that you know, sort of like get well in advance of what you're doing at the different wineries and, you know, the next ramble?
I think that's something that we're constantly navigating. Again, we're not corporate or big and no communications manager or anything like that. But, you know, I think social media is always an easy avenue for us. And mm-hmm. then, you know, bloodrootwines.com and reevewines.com. We have sign-ups for just newsletters, and we always tell our newsletter members everything first. They got pre-access to this and some preferential pricing. It's, you know, I think social media, Instagram, mm-hmm. and then Noah's trying to get us into TikTok. I'm a little too old for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, yeah.
You're never too old.
Never too old.
Well, you're going to have to get on that because who knows? It might not be available to us for that much longer.
Yeah. That's true.
All right, cool. Should we move into our music round questions?
Let's do it. Let's go.
All right. Do you want to start?
Sure. Well, okay. So my question is, I don't know if I should do this on air or do it on... Well, I'll do it on air. And then we can do like a video version of it after.
Oh, right. Yeah, this is fun, yes.
So with this wine right here, we like to like pair music and wine together. So what song or artist would you say best represents the Ramble wine?
I'm going to go with Ramblin' Man by the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, I like that.
Allman Brothers, always been one of my very favorite bands, and makes me think of sunshine and good times.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm gonna go with.
Oh man, I was gonna pair. See, I got your pre-question and I thought about it, and I didn't know I was gonna have to pair it with the Ramble.
Ooh.
So I'm gonna go a little sideways here and say, when I drink our rosé, which is primarily what I drink,
yes,
it's Paradise City by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Excellent.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. Very cool.
I think this one also would go great with Jessica by... Doesn't it feel like a Jessica wine from the Allman Brothers?
Really
like,
does.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to ask... This one is a harder one, and I don't know if... Did you let them know that we were going to ask this one about the Desert Island Disc?
I think so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
This one is so hard, and if you don't have advance notice, it's just like almost impossible to answer. So you are headed out to a deserted island. You have a record player or some way to listen to music, but you can only bring 3 albums with you for the rest of time. So what would they be?
So you're right. This is a very tough question. I thought about it probably way more than I should have. I still didn't get totally conclusive.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go, when I was in college, I had the Jerry Garcia Band double disc. And I love the Grateful Dead, but the Jerry Band stuff I really like because there's a lot of covers of old R&B songs.
Wow.
I love Jerry Garcia's voice and his voicing and his guitar. And it's something that I've probably listened to more than anything in my life already. Just about.
Cool.
So that's one. And then secondly, for a little bit of variety, Kind of Blue, Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Love it. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites. We still listen to it a lot. It's another one of those that it's already stood the test of time for me, so I'm feeling comfortable with being alone with it on an island for a long time. And then for number 3... I think I'm going to take Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones.
Nice. Great
Solid choices. Yes. All right, Kelly?
All right, mine are more modern.
Love it.
Because I don't have a good memory. Spoon is
like, I love
my
them.
Favorite. Mm-hmm. Give Me Fiction. I just can't get tired of any of those songs. Mm. And I do have to say, Lord Huron, I'm not trying to plug the Ramble, but Strange Trails is one of my very favorite. Spoon and Lord Huron are probably like my top 2 favorite bands for years. So, and then I wanted to say Kind of Blue, but I gave it to Noah. And then, Christine and the Queens, Chaleur Humaine, I think that's how you say that. We have that record, and I listen to it all the time, and I also just can't seem to get enough of it.
Nice.
So,
those are great choices.
They
are. And plus, if you're both on the same deserted island, then you have double the amount of music.
Double the amount of music.
See? You still get Miles Davis.
True.
Yes.
Nice.
All right. So, okay, it's your last day on Earth. What are you eating? What are you drinking? And what are you listening to?
Boy. I'm going to say Taylor Cuneo's bolognese pasta. She's our general manager.
Ooh, okay.
And she makes the best bolognese with one of our Rewind's Pinot Noirs.
Ooh.
I love our Yamoun Carbonic Pinot, but if it's that, if it's the last day, it's going to be our Kaiser Vineyard Pinot. And probably listening to Kind of Blue, because that would put me in a really good mood to slip onto the other side.
I love that. Okay, beautiful.
So for me, my normal kind of last day on Earth thing is I love like a good hamburger. However, today I was thinking about these, this other thing that I love, and they're, we had them when we were in Sicily, and they're kind of like spot prawns, but they're these little, very pink, fleshy prawns, and they're very, very seasonal. Mm. When we were in Sicily, we had them raw with just olive oil and a squeeze of lemon and sea salt.
Wow.
I couldn't get enough of those, and I was thinking about them this morning, and I was also thinking about one of our wines that we make kind of in tribute to southern Italy, to the Amalfi Coast. We make a Vermentino. This year, we also blended in a little bit of this obscure Italian white grape called Falanghina, and that wine and those spot prawns really got me excited. For listening, one of my other candidates for my Desert Island album is Grateful Dead, American Beauty.
Mm.
Also one of my favorites of all time. There's a lot of great songs, like I think Broke Down Palace would be an amazing song to slide away to the other side.
Okay. Very cool. I like it.
These are great answers. So much fun. All right. Okay, go-to karaoke song.
Oh, no. Lately, I've been doing Fast Car.
Tracy
Chapman.
Yeah. The OG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can't quite do it justice. Shocking.
I'm sure it's still good.
But that's not what karaoke's for. Karaoke's for fun.
It's the opposite. So this is a new one for me, but Green Day, Basket Case.
Ah.
Nice.
American Idiot actually is like, kind of works in the exact same way that that song works, but it was one of those where I was driving down the street. It came on the radio, and I'm like, that would be a great karaoke song. I wrote it in my phone, and then lo and behold, like 2 weeks later, we were in Nashville, and everyone wanted to go to karaoke. I'm like, I've got a song. I've got it.
You're prepared.
God, I queued it up.
What was the reaction like when you pulled that one out?
It was good. I feel like it was my most successful karaoke song that wasn't a total crash and burn.
Yeah.
Because they can be successful because they're a crash and burn, too. But this was like,
true.
It was legit.
Well, you hear Noah's voice. He's good at Elvis and Chantilly Lace, like
okay,
right on. So fun. All right, well, thank you both for coming in and for sharing the wine and for putting together something that, you know, it's amazing that you're putting on these kinds of concerts on top of everything else that you do, and you're not professionals at it, and that's just what a treat for the community to bring something like this and for it to do such good as well. So thank you both for coming in and having great vision.
Thanks for supporting the message.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it out there.
You.
Yeah, right on. You can learn more at various websites, Reeve Wines, bloodrootwines.com and bloodrootramble.com. Get your tickets now. These are going to sell out. It's coming up on the Friday and Saturday, June 7th and 8th. Again, tickets at bloodrootramble.com. Follow them on socials as well. All right, Coco, we'll see you next time.
Sounds good.
Check out our website for podcasts and interviews with all kinds of cool people. There is a bonus podcast that I did with Christone Kingfish Ingram. And if you haven't heard that one, it was very, very fun. Grammy-winning blues artist. He's pretty cool. Again, all of those interviews are at rockinvino.com, rockinvino.com.
Thanks for listening to Rockin' Vino. Check out more great content online at rockinvino.com.